This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Saturday Magazine, our second and final hour with Adam and Jeff. And music-wise, we just heard from Vanessa Amorosi with Hooperstank, and the track was called The Letter.
Some of you may be considering getting married, and some of you may have been married in the past, and some of you may want to get married but can't because you're in a same-sex relationship, and in Australia there's no such thing as same-sex marriage. Equal Love is a nationwide campaign for same-sex marriage in Australia. Through education and direct action, they aim to change public attitudes towards gay and lesbian relationships and to put pressure on the government to legislate for equal marriage rights. And in our In Focus session in this half of Saturday Magazine, we welcome Tony Pittman, who's from Equal Love Australia.
Tony. Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning to you. So, you know, I've given a slight introduction there. Just to expand on that a little bit, what is the Equal Love campaign about? How did it start? What's it trying to achieve?
Basically, it sprang out of the events of 2004, which was when the Howard government, along with the support of the ALP, passed the Marriage Amendment Act to put into legislation the definition of marriage as a man and a woman.
Yep.
That sprang up because at that point in about 2003, some couples from Australia had gone overseas to Canada, I think, and got married over there, came back, had begun legal proceedings here to get those marriages recognised, and the Howard government saw this as an issue to win votes to stop this possibility by amending the Marriage Act. So that happened in 2004. Then a year later in 2005, on the anniversary of the passing of that legislation, August 13th, people started to protest throughout Australia. And since then, basically, the movement has grown. And so this year, on August the 1st, there's going to be rallies in all the state capitals, plus in Canberra, for same-sex marriage, basically.
So your goal is to have absolutely no distinction between heterosexual couples, homosexual couples, in terms of marriage. So the Marriage Act is the encompasses all relationships.
That's it. Yep. That is exactly it. All we're asking for is a very simple amendment of a few words to the Marriage Act. Instead of saying marriage is defined as the union of a man and a woman, it would change to marriage is defined as the union of two people.
Yeah. Now, I remember when all that started and the guys came back from Canada and that action started, I interviewed the then opposition spokesperson, Nicola Roxon, and really pushed her to give some sort of explanation as to why, when the Labor Party was saying that they were very pro-equal rights, what was the block about marriage? And she could say nothing more than the Labor Party believes it's should be between a man and a woman. Why? Couldn't answer the question. And it's like, I haven't heard any satisfactory answers to that question. What do you say about that sort of argument that people who oppose it put, apart from the religious argument? A lot of them weren't religious arguments. They were just, well, we just think it's between a man and a woman. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, in a way, there is nothing you can say because they haven't argued anything. As you say, when you get down to it, there is no, because we're talking about civil marriage, which is the secular institution. So religious objections have no value in that kind of argument.
Yeah, they would disagree with that, of course. A lot of religious people would say, well, what the civil marriage does is just to kind of sanction what's really a mystical spiritual union between two people that's sanctioned by God. That's the kind of argument they would put, isn't it? So some religious affiliations.
Some of them would, yeah. I mean, I think they're wrong because I think the problem is that there are two separate institutions here. There's the religious institution, there's the civil institution. Unfortunately, they're both called marriage. They both have the same word. And so that causes a lot of confusion and blurring in people's minds. But they are separate institutions. You can have one or the other without the other one. So when it comes down to it, as you said, there is no rational argument against opening marriage to same-sex couples. There are only those arguments about tradition or religion, basically. And so, I mean, basically the way that that I argue with objections like that is, look, this is no... They also think it's kind of a threat. There's almost a gut reaction that, oh, well, this is so radical, it must be a threat. But, I mean, it's not a threat to anyone. If a same-sex couple gets married, that doesn't take anything away from anyone else. Those people are happy because they get married. No one else is affected in any way. And if you look at countries that have had it for a few years now, if you look at Canada, if you look at Spain, they're in a situation now where about between 2 and 3% of all marriages every year are between people of the same sex. So this is the reality we're facing. Where's the threat? There's no, society's not going to fall down. There's nothing bad is going
to
happen.
See, they would argue that the threat is to the integrity of what is traditional marriage and traditional family values, and that some of them would argue that, you know, this whole stupid God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve kind of quote that gets thrown around. But some would argue that it actually destroys the something of the sanctity or the integrity of that institution. So some people clearly do feel threatened by it. Now, I don't know what the threat is. I don't know how it affects an individual heterosexual person's marriage and their integrity about their own life. But that's what they would argue, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you hear that kind of argument that, well, allowing same-sex couples into the institution of marriage somehow devalues or demeans or trivializes it. You know, I would say, if you think that, that's only in your mind. Nothing is actually changing. The marriage certificate is the same, all the same legal rights and responsibilities attached to marriage. Your marriage certificate at home, at your home, doesn't change. Nothing changes. If you get upset about who else is getting married, I mean, that, I would say that's happening in your mind, and it's nothing real, and that's not a justification to deny this basic civil right to hundreds of thousands of people. Your discomfort, you know, that's the only thing I can argue against that. Because
so if it's all in their mind, what is going on in their mind, do you think? I know you don't know that because only they do, but what do you suspect's going on in their mind?
I suspect that basically the people who mostly oppose same-sex marriage are the religious groups. Basically, the only organized opposition to same-sex marriage is the religious groups, and they just get very upset about what they see as the depraved homosexuals, the immoral behavior, and anything that condones that. And it's just something, you know, I can't understand their mind, because to me it's like they wake up in the morning and then they're worried about what other people are doing in their own homes. It has no effect on anyone else that the other people are happy with, but they get upset about it. I don't understand it. I guess if you really believed that God would get angry or whatever, I don't know.
Well, I suppose they see it as giving legal recognition to sin, is how some of them would say it. And like, we don't give legal recognition to murder, so why should we to homosexuality? I don't buy that argument at all. Obviously, I wouldn't be here at Joy, would I? But that is the kind of attitude that I think some have, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, obviously, I would argue that in a public debate, you can't, you know, that's not a valid argument to bring in sin, because, I mean, there's no general consensus about what sin is. That's your personal opinion. You can't impose, you can't use the state, you can't use a civil institution to impose your particular
But some would argue that you can, like the whole Sharia law in the Islamic faith is that, and a lot of Christians would want a theocracy, wouldn't they? More fundamentalist ones I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they would. I can't say that's valid. That is just goes against the fundamental principles of a liberal democracy, that idea of imposing your view of the good life, your religious morals on other people.
But don't we, I mean, I'm going to be the devil's advocate here, don't we do that anyway with any law? Like, don't we say that we believe that, you know, cannibalism is wrong, we believe that murder is wrong, we believe that rape is wrong? Isn't that imposing a value on people's behavior?
It is, but I would make a distinction here, and I would say that when we're doing that, we are arguing on rational grounds that any rational person could agree with, that we don't allow rape because rape is interfering with the freedom of another person. Yeah. Whereas the issue of same-sex marriage has no effect on anyone else. That's the whole thing. The religious right argue that, oh, they want to impose same-sex marriage on everyone. Of course we don't. Nothing will be imposed on anyone. No one will be affected in any way.
You've got to divorce your wife and marry a man. That's right. It's mandatory.
And you only have to look at the countries where same-sex marriage is allowed. That, you know, things haven't change. Like, the countries are still there, and, you know, yeah, it's not rioting on the streets or anything. Like,
well, you're right. I mean, that's it. The sky didn't fall. All the doomsday scenarios that they raise are completely false. It's just fear-mongering.
Yeah, it is.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Adam and Jeff. Our guest is Tony Pittman from Equal Love, talking about the campaign for equal rights in marriage. If you have a comment or a question that you'd like us to put to Tony, or a comment on Joy 94.9, The Garden, take that. You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Adam and Jeff. It's 26 minutes to 12.
That's right, and we've got a special guest in the studio, Tony Pittman, who's talking all about the Equal Love campaign and same-sex marriage in general as well. Now, we were talking earlier about religious groups' opposition to same-sex marriage. Do you expect there to be any turnout on the National Day of Action of any religious groups?
No, I don't think so. It's been going for 5 years. I don't think they've ever had the opposition, if you like, show up.
They might get infected.
That's right. They might all become depraved perverts or whatever they like to call us. Yes. I don't think so.
So does any active debate occur between yourselves and others in the campaign and religious groups? Like, is there ever any forum where that debate occurs?
Very, very rare. I would love to see that happen, because I would love to see these issues put to the public in a debate style. The only time I've heard of it was recently was when the head of Australian Marriage Equality, Peter Furness, went on one of those morning shows against Jim Wallace from the Australian Christian Lobby. And Jim basically made completely irrational religious arguments, which were quite easily dealt with. But no, I mean, I think it would be fantastic to see this get much more debate, because I think, you know, a recent Galaxy poll showed that 60% of Australians support same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
And I think that, well, obviously that number is going to only increase. And I think it increases once, for most people, this issue has never popped up on their radar. So they really don't have an opinion. Same-sex marriage would never, if you're a straight person living a normal relationship, this would never occur to you. But if you actually just sit down for 30 seconds and point out to that person, look, this will have no effect on you.
Yeah.
This will make other people happy. You won't be affected in any way. I think almost everyone will say, oh, yeah, you're right. What was I worried about?
And that's 60% supporting it. There'd be a number in that other 40% who don't care either way, wouldn't there?
I'm sure there were. Yeah.
So if you actually say who is absolutely against it, it'd be interesting to see what that sort of figure is. Do programs like Q&A on the ABC that deal with a lot of current issues and have panels of people, are any of those sort of programs on TV, radio programs interested in taking up the issue, or do they just find it too hot a thing to discuss, or don't want to get emotions too high within the audience?
Look, I really don't know. I do know, I didn't see it, but I did hear that Kevin Rudd on Q&A or one of those shows was actually asked the question, and he just towed a very diplomatic line saying it's my
person. On the very first one.
Right. I didn't see that. But look, I'm sure that they would be, especially as I think after August 1st and after the ALP conference next week, I think that this year is going to be a watershed year in the campaign for same-sex marriage, and I think it's going to come onto the radar for a lot of people. So I'm sure that those mainstream type of discussion shows are going to get more interested in this issue.
Mm. Can I put the GLBTIQ, or it's more the Q part, I guess, of this devil's advocate position to this? you know, the history of marriage as a kind of an ownership of a, you know, buying a woman and the dowry and all that sort of stuff, and a woman had to belong to some male, initially her father, and then she was kind of sold to the husband, and marriage was, you know, the contract of the kind of ownership of the woman, and that, you know, in the more medieval and earlier sort of history. Now, there's other aspects of the history apart from that. A lot of people would say, well, you know, in terms of the gay movement, we've fought hard for our rights to be different. We've fought hard not to conform, not to have to be part of heterosexist or heteronormative society. Why should we take on this heterosexist or heterosexual kind of framework? Why should we do that? Why don't we start our own framework and say to the world, we don't want to be like this. There are problems with this institution, and we don't want to take it on. What would you say to that kind of argument?
I would say that's fine. That if you feel that way, that's fine. Go out and spread the word. Don't get married. Encourage people not to get married. Do whatever you want. But I would say respectfully to that person, you're actually missing the point here.
Yep.
Because some same-sex couples want to get married.
Yep.
Are you going to tell them they're not allowed to? Are you going to make that decision for them? Firstly, so from that point of view, I don't think that really any LGBT person can oppose same-sex marriage, because what you're saying is to Samantha and Jane, you're not allowed to get married. We know best. So I don't think they oppose it. What they might then argue is, well, we shouldn't be fighting for it because we should be fighting for other things and it's not important. But again, I think that misses the point. And the point is that the fight for same-sex marriage is not really about marriage. It's about equality.
Yep.
It's about having the same rights as everyone else.
Yep.
And so it doesn't matter if you want to get married yourself. It doesn't even matter what you think of the institution of marriage. What matters is, do you think that LGBT people should have the same human dignity of every other person and the same right to choose whether they want to get married or not? That's what it comes down to.
Which actually goes alongside very much that argument that gay liberation was about freedom to live our lives as we choose rather than having to conform. And what you're saying is, well, yeah, that, and that's what this is about too. It's about the right to choose whether or not to go into a marital situation or whether to not be married.
Absolutely. In fact, if we get same-sex marriage and no same-sex couple chooses to marry, of course that won't happen, but, you know, that doesn't matter. The point is that we should all be equal. That's the point. It's about equal rights. And, you know, what you were saying before about that the religious right argue, oh, you're condoning sin and all this stuff. You know, I don't shirk from the argument that, yeah, what we are actually saying is that we are equal.
Mm.
You know, that we do want to be condoned. We do want to be accepted, because marriage is the highest relationship recognition that we have in society, that the state offers. Mm. And so the fact that we're excluded now sends out an extremely strong, visible message to the whole society that LGBT people are not quite human, and their relationships are just not up to scratch, are not worthy. And that only fuels homophobia, it fuels other forms of discrimination. So this is actually just a part in the fight against homophobia. That's what it really is about.
So it is, in a sense, it's taking half the argument of the fundamentalists and saying we are condoning it, but we're not calling it sin. We're condoning what's natural to GLBTI people.
That's right.
And yeah, I guess that's the point, isn't it? You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy.
If it sounds great, it's Joy.
Love your weekends on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, you're on Saturday Magazine with Adam and Jeff, and we're talking all things same-sex marriage and equal love. Of course, this Saturday, August the 1st, is a National Day of Action, and we're joined in the studio by Tony Pittman. How important is it for everyone to come out in force on Saturday?
Oh, Adam, great question. Very, very important.
Yeah.
No, I really think it is, because I think that, you know, this is one of a few chances that you will have to actually make your voice heard, to make a visible stand in favour of LGBT equality. So if you are free and if you are able to get down to Federation Square at 1 o'clock on Saturday, next Saturday, August 1st, do go along, because you will have an effect. You know, if we get more than 1,000 people in Melbourne and in the other capital cities, that is going to send a very strong message to the politicians.
We've had a couple of texts from people saying that, you know, is holding it in winter an issue? Will that detract from people turning up? Or could it be held when it's warmer?
I don't know. I mean, it's held traditionally on the anniversary of the passing of the legislation, which was unfortunately in August.
I think it's worth coming out in the cold.
Yeah, and
you?
I suppose you can console yourself, guys. It's colder in Canberra.
Yeah. That's right. It's always cold in Canberra. That's right.
Have you got any? Is there any political involvement on Saturday? Any of the parties coming to speak or anything like that?
Well, the Greens will be there. The Greens have supported same-sex marriage for years now. I think about 30 years or something. And in terms of a party presence on August the 1st, no, I think it's just the Greens.
Okay,
but it's interesting that there are members of the Labour Party who have spoken out in favour of marriage equality.
Yeah,
publicly,
going against the official party line. For example, we launched our campaign with Bronwyn Pike, the education minister here in Victoria, who is a public ALP supporter of marriage equality.
Yeah, and she said that on our program at various times as well, that she totally supports same-sex marriage.
Right. And you know, I think there are more and more members of the ALP, both within the parliaments around Australia and the general party, who support it. And I think there are also Liberals, members of the coalition, who support it as well.
Any publicly that you know of?
On the Liberal side, not that I know of, no.
Yeah, but I was just wondering about Theophanous, Petro Georgiou, whether he's actually... Because I think I've heard him hint at it, whether he said it. I don't want to lob him into it in case he hasn't. But is the legislation that needs to be changed is federal legislation, isn't it? That the marriage acts are federal or they're state acts?
Yep, it's a federal federal legislation, yes.
So it's the federal parliament that needs to change.
That's right.
What do you think of what do you think needs to happen for parties to take something on? Like, why doesn't the ALP, with I presume quite a number of people who actually favour it, why doesn't it take this on as an issue? Is it about leadership? Is it about Kevin Rudd's personal opinion? Is it about what they think is public opinion, which doesn't fit because we're saying 60% are in favour? What do you think's the block?
I think part of the block is probably Kevin Rudd's personal issue and the fact that people don't want to create the appearance of dissension within the ALP. So I mean, next week's going to be interesting because next week in Sydney is the ALP National Conference. So in terms of literally what it'll take 51% of the delegates at the ALP National Conference to vote for a policy in favour of same-sex marriage. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I hope it will, but I don't think so. And I think, yeah, it's that issue of not wanting to show dissension within the party. And I think it's also that kind of, what would I call it, the inertia of politicians that they won't touch a tricky or hot issue unless they're absolutely forced to, because it could only blow up in their face. Yeah, you know, this is politicians, it's their caution to avoid hot topics until absolutely necessary.
And we're getting a little bit too close to an election for something contentious, aren't we? Even though it's possibly 18 months away or less. But it's a bit close for a contentious issue, I imagine.
Yeah, I suspect so. I suspect they just want to, like all politicians, they want to make everybody happy, so they don't want to risk upsetting certain vocal minorities.
Are there many politicians who are willing to talk to you or other representatives of Equal Love off the record or informally or giving you support, I mean, other than people like Bronwyn Pike who've been more public?
Yeah, I mean, I know there are. I don't talk with politicians, but I know people like Corey Earlham from the Australian Coalition for Equality. He's talking to them all the time, and he knows that there are a lot of them who privately support it and don't want to go on the record publicly. So, yeah, I suspect that I mean, the interesting thing about this issue is that it is just a matter of time. It is inevitable, you know. I mean, and we know that for two reasons. Look at the international situation. It's spreading throughout the Western liberal democracies, like so many other reform issues of a similar type have. It's eventually going to get to Australia as well. Look at the demographics. 74% of people under 25 support it. 71% of people under 35 support it. So it is inevitable. And so, you know, I think politicians, well, if it's brought to their attention, they see that. And so the question for politicians then becomes, well, what side of history do we want to be on? Do we want to be remembered as the ones who opposed a change for the better, like the people who opposed the vote for women or that kind of thing? Mm. Or do we want to be seen as the ones who said, yeah, okay, this is a simple human rights issue. We understand that we're going to enact it. I hope they will decide on the right side.
Well, the fear that, you know, we don't want to go down in history is the ones who introduced this abomination. But I can't imagine that too many politicians are holding that sort of view.
No, I don't think so, yeah.
Do you think there's still, like we were talking before about attitudes in terms of opposing it and the kind of latent and overt homophobia that still exists in our society? Do you think there's much of that to change, or do you really think it's more a question of the politics and how people want to be seen?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously there is no doubt that there is still a lot of latent homophobia in Australia. And I think the two issues are basically interconnected, that politicians don't want to touch that latent homophobia. They don't want to stir it up. Let time go by. Let it keep bubbling away, and we can put it off as long as we possibly can. So, I mean, I think it's both. I think that politicians are touchy, and they're touchy because of that homophobia. I mean, homophobia is getting less and less, but you know, this is
still around.
This is social change. Social change always is very slow. You know, I know some people who say social change only occurs as the older generations die out, like we actually have to wait for those people to die. I think there's some truth to that, but I also think that you can change people's minds. You can convince people, and I think that process is happening.
Especially if their attitudes aren't held strongly with a strong rational foundation.
Yeah, exactly, which I think on the issue of same-sex marriage, I think that is that type of issue, that people don't have very strong opinions. Well, some people do, but most people don't. They're just like, well, it's never occurred to me. If you ask someone, well, I don't know, it seems like it's a bit strange. Marriage is a man and a woman, but, you know, all you have to do is talk to them for 2 minutes and, oh, okay.
So the National Day of Action is actually going to not only send a great message to politicians, but also just to the community in general.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, just to we've timed it on August the 1st because that's the last day of the ALP National Conference. So we want to really put pressure on the delegates at that conference to let them know, hey, we're here, we want same-sex marriage, and we're not going to go away.
Yeah.
We're going to be here every year until we get it. But also, yeah, if we get media coverage from this, which I'm sure we will, it'll get onto the radar of more people. They'll read about it. They'll start to think about the issue, and there'll be more, you know, we'll get our arguments out there and convince more people.
Exactly.
Do the television news service, sorry, Adam, the television news services show interest in covering the rallies?
That's a good question. I have been living overseas for the last 5 years, so this is actually going to be my first rally. Obviously, we're going to try to publicize, we're publicizing it to them, and we hope they'll go along. I don't know in the past if they have covered it very much. I think this year they will, because I think this year we're going to have big rallies all over Australia, and I don't think that can be ignored.
Can you run us through the day? So we're all meeting at 1 p.m. at Fed Square.
Yep, 1 o'clock in Federation Square on Saturday, August the 1st. That's in 1 week. We'll have a rally with some performances and speeches in Federation Square.
Yep.
Then at about 2 o'clock, we will walk up to the Marriage Registry Office, which is on Spring Street, the corner of Spring and Collins Street. It's the old Treasury building.
Yep.
And there in front of the Registry Office, we will hold what we're billing as the Guinness World Record attempt for the largest mass illegal wedding ceremony ever. So we'll see how we go with that. But that'll all happen like around 2:30, I guess, by then.
Well, if we have a few arrests, that'll get news coverage.
Yes, well, I should just reassure anyone who's a bit wary about getting arrested. When we call it illegal, it's actually not illegal. It's just non-legal in that it has no legal effect. So you have no chances of being arrested.
Yeah. I'm not going to end up in the back of a divvy van.
Unless you want to, unless you would do something else to get arrested.
During the year when you're not having the rallies, what does Equal Love do and what can our listeners do to join this campaign on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, good question. Equal Love is basically the group in Melbourne that's pretty much focused on the rallies. Mm. Now, there is another group, a national group called Australian Marriage Equality, which fights for exactly the same thing, and that's more of a permanent lobby group that is fighting all year round for same-sex marriage. So if people are interested, they can go to australianmarriageequality.com and contact that group and join that group. And if they're interested in Equal Love, which is more focused on the rallies, that's equallove.info is the website.
Okay. Do you have a close relationship with them?
Oh, yeah, extremely close.
Oh, okay, cool.
Is it worth people writing to politicians?
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.